A full muster of theater girls has arrived at our musical comedy theater for tonight's presentation of that Peter Pan of musical comedy, The Maid of the Mountain. And with complete satisfaction, the audience settles down for uninterrupted enjoyment. Its appetite for the pleasant Fraser Simpson melodies is unimpaired by familiarity, two world wars, and global changes in taste and tempo. The Maid of the Mountain. In the rocky fastnesses of a mountain lair, where towering crags and beetling cliffs breed a race of men whose very souls are hewn out of granite, a band of benevolent cutthroats from their stronghold. Carlo, Zaki, Andrea, Pietro, Beppo, Tonio, the names have a southern flavor, and the hot blood of the south that courses through their veins finds expression in the passionate pagan philosophy of Beppo. Let tomorrow fall where it may, and live, boys, live for today.
The folks that be who never foresee that the future holds anything pleasant, who grimly cast their eyes in the past and gaze with a gasp at the present, the golden rule for sage or fool, for prince or poet or peasant, is come what may at work or play, to live, just live for today. Sing a hey, sing a ho, there's no time like the present. Sing a ho, sing a hey, there's no day like today. Depressed, not feeling his best, he laments o'er yesterday's sorrow, and broods what's more on troubles galore that fate holds in store for tomorrow. Yet man has far from every hour some gleam of sunshine to borrow. So don't delay, but find a way to make the most of today. Sing a hey, sing a ho, take the thought for tomorrow. Sing a ho,
What manner of men are these who live so dangerously, living at war with society, yet capable of loving one human being with an utterly selfless devotion? Two human beings, for they love their leader, the bold Baldassare, too. But for Teresa, the maid, the little childlike peasant girl, they would gladly lay down their lives. And here she is, their tender little comrade, the youthful Teresa. The warmest greeting comes from young Beppo, who loves Teresa with a love that will never be requited. For by one of those cruel, ironic twists, young Teresa has given all her love to their leader, the cold, inscrutable Baldassare. But what need has Baldassare of Teresa, or of any woman? Though with a gay shrug, she mocks herself. Why, it would be wicked waste for a girl like me to love a man like Baldassare, wouldn't it, Beppo? there's no mistaking the identity of the man who takes the stage as Teresa's song ends. He is a rough, untidily dressed fellow, tall and commanding, with an excellent figure and an impeccable accent. One of the brigands greets him with, "Well, chief," and we know that there at last is the dreaded Baldassare. "They've found our hiding place," he says. "We're surrounded. Go, pack your things. We leave tonight." Fingering his revolver, he tells Teresa that she must leave at once. One woman on her own may get through to the village. She sees a brooch on his lapel and asks for it as a mascot, but he refuses her. The time presses now, and as Baldassare goes back to the lookout, Teresa sings her sad song of farewell. No sooner has Teresa left the stronghold than an unexpected visitor arrives. Angela, the daughter of General Malona, whose term of office as governor of Santo expires the next day. She's been riding with her companion Vittoria and has lost her way. Baldassare finds the lady charming, but when she recognizes the brooch on his lapel as hers, she knows that this fellow is the brigand leader after all. She reviles him, but the brigand can be gallant. And with mocking chivalry, he provides an escort to accompany the two ladies back to the highway. But this is no time for gallantry, Baldassare. Teresa has been captured by the governor's men. Only a brilliant strategy can save her. The new governor is on his way to Santo now. No one in Santo has ever seen him before. So why not hold up his coach, seize the governor and his papers, and I, Baldassare, will enter Santo in his place. You brigands will be my entourage. And when next we meet the Maid of the Mountains, she is a prisoner in the palace of the retiring governor of Santo, General Malona. Her situation is dangerous, but her courage undaunted. For she has implicit faith in the power of love. After her song, Teresa retires and the stage is clear for the entrance of the new governor. The crowd rush on, wild cheers of long live the new governor. And here is Baldassare, magnificent in his stolen raiment and minus his brigand's beard, unrecognizable. What has happened to the real governor is left unexplained. But alas for poor Teresa. It's a bitter pill for the maid when Beppo tells her that Baldassare has eyes for no one but the general's daughter. But she still loves him, just as ardently as Beppo loves her. Two people in love, two people unloved. Both dream of a paradise for two.
There's no sun within my heart, but a love for you. Yet we must remain apart, for life's journey through.
When one dreams of paradise, nothing else will do. Nothing else will ever survive when love goes to you.
When love goes to you. If I only held the key to your heart, I'd give you the key to mine.
We'd open the door to a wonderful dream of a life and a love
Comedy relief to the bittersweet theme of love unrequited is brought by the complications that arise when Vittoria, Angela's companion, recognizes Tonio, one of the less bloodthirsty brigands, as her husband who was presumed to have lost his life some years before while bathing. It's Tonio, all right, but he manages to put her off the scent as he prefers brigandage to bondage any day. And to music, they make some sprightly observations on the peccadilloes of husbands and wives.
Husband, though I know the neighbors talk.
It don't take much to set the neighbors talking.
But now I found him out, the biggest rogue that ever walked.
Oh, don't say that, I'm sure he hated walking.
To please this gay deceiver, I worked just like a beaver.
And he perhaps was busy damning too.
All his follies I forgave, for I thought him, oh, so brave.
He must have been.
Indeed.
He married you.
Oh, marriage, what a fate.
Oh, blessed single state.
Husbands and wives, think of their lives. Always together, in every sort of weather.
I wonder how in thunder anyone survives.
When the wife suspects the husband,
and the husband scolds the wives. Husbands and wives, wonderful lives. When they're together, it's always lovely weather. Sunshiny when their tiny family arrives.
If the wives adore the husbands,
and the husbands scold their
As the last refrain ends, they go swiftly into a dance duo which is full of good, rough fun and ends with Vittoria carrying Tonio off the stage, a piece of business that invariably brings down the house. By now, the inevitable second act carnival is well underway. Beppo, quickly reconciled to love unrequited, enters surrounded by a bevy of beautiful girls, and, sensible fellow, is so captivated by them all that although he's loved and lost, he doesn't care. Now he'll be able to love them all. So he says...
A bachelor gay am I, though I've suffered from Cupid's dart. But never, I vow, will I say die, in spite of an aching heart. For a man knows lots, a girl or two, that the fact must be confessed. He always swears the whole day through, to every girl he tries to woo, that he loves her far the best. At 17, he falls in love quite madly with eyes of tender blue. At 24, he gets it rather badly with eyes of a different hue. At 35, you'll find him flirting sadly with two or three or more. When he fancies his past love, it is then he meets his last love, and he loves her as he's never loved before. At 17, he falls in love quite madly with eyes of tender blue. At 24, he gets it rather badly with eyes of a different hue. At 35, you'll find him flirting sadly with two. It is then he meets his last love, and he loves her as he's never loved before.
Well, the upshot of it all is that Teresa, with all that hot southern blood and stuff in her veins, tormented by jealousy and mad as a hornet, flings out an accusing finger at the supposed new governor and says shrilly, "There he is! There's Baldassare!" The crowd gasps, the soldiers rush forward and seize the bold masquerader. Teresa totters, then goes crashing to the floor. Which, when you come to think of it, is a pretty smooth way of bringing down the second act curtain, if not strikingly original. Scene changes to the island off the coast of Santo, where Baldassare is imprisoned and is concerned mainly with the attempts of various parties to smuggle the brigand chief across to the mainland in a rowing boat. Help is provided with Lieutenant Regini, who loves the decorative Angela and thinks he'll improve his chances if Baldassare goes out of the running. So it is Regini who gives Teresa the key of the prison cell, and it is Teresa who takes the key and releases Baldassare, even though his first thoughts may be of Angela, and tells him to take the boat quickly and go. "But what becomes of you, Teresa?" he asks her. To which Teresa, child of nature and full of southern pride, says, "I'm going back to the mountains. They understand me." Well, it's one thing to be understood by a mountain, but quite another to be engulfed in the powerful embrace of your favorite brigand chief. This latter is what happens to Teresa, and that, she finds, is the more gratifying of the two alternatives, there's no shadow of doubt. Vittoria and her truant Tonio are also reunited. And with their duet, over there and over here, the play runs its lively course.
I should feel quite broken-hearted when my loved one's far away.
When my darling has departed, then the outlook will be grey.
Though your path with hardships bristles, and your life's a bed of thistles, you may write me long epistles.
I shall cable every day.
Think of me, your lonely soul. sitting in a flat that's meant for two.
You must start a bit of knitting. It's the only thing to do.
Work this in the great consoler. I shall die a pianola.
When I push the prison roller, I shall always think of you, my dear. For when you're over there, and when I'm over here, oh, the world will be bare, and the prospect drear.
For when you're over here, and when I'm over there, I shall gaze you with a tear at your empty chair.
Darling, it's a sad life for a man and his wife.
When one's over there, and when one's over here. Over there.
Over here.
Over here.
For when you're over here, and I'm over there, any small souvenir I shall guard with care.
Yes, when I'm over there, and when you're over here, I shall tear out my hair by the roots, I fear.
It's a sad
life for a man and his wife. When one's over there, and when one's over here, over there,
over here.
But we can't bring down the curtain on a mere duet in musical comedy, so everyone on stage, please, for the finale. The Maid of the Mountains. There are many curtain calls, a great many flowers, and when the curtain makes its final descent, a completely contented audience surges into the aisles. It has seen many musical comedies, but few who have that cozy familiarity, that traditional charm, which is so peculiarly part of The Maid of the Mountains. And so home from our musical comedy theater.